here first, so. Okay, here we go. Good morning, and welcome to the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board regularly scheduled meeting for today, Thursday, July 12, 2012. At this time, we'd like to call the meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it's 6 minutes after nine. And at this point, we'd like to open it up to public comment. I don't have a timer, but if you could, or maybe we do have a timer, I don't know. If you could limit your comments to about 3 minutes. We do have a timer, and it's set for 3 minutes, okay? It's the first time we've had a timer, so when you step up to the microphone, if you can just make sure that you state your name, that would be terrific. We'd all appreciate it for the record. So at this time, public comments open.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Aaron Oakes. I am the managing editor of The Rock at rockofthecoast.com. We are one of the papers on record for covering the Central Coast Oyster Festival, which has been widely successful. We are also monitoring and tracking statistics on the site and our Facebook and our Twitter. And I'd like to give you today a really small presentation of what's been going on with The Rock, what's been happening on Google as far as how people are searching for Morro Bay, what they're looking for, what they want to look for. So here it goes. Canada really likes Morro Bay. That's something we realized after Walk Off the Earth, which is a band from Canada, came to Morro Bay. A lot of Canadians were saying, what's Morro Bay? What is this place all about? They've been checking out The Rock for tourism information. I've been referring them to the Morro Bay website, and I'm sure there's going to be a report later going to reflect on some of the statistics from Canadian visitors. So expect a lot of unique visitors for the next couple of weeks. Now, The Rock is an arts, entertainment, and culture publication, so we're really, our target demographic is people who are looking for a lot of cultural diversity in Morro Bay. And so a lot of search terms involve Morro Bay art, Morro Bay dining, Morro Bay gourmet, Morro Bay restaurants. And we're getting a ton of traffic. And what I've been doing is I've been redirecting people who are interested on Twitter and saying, hey, you should check out the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. You should check out what's happening at TBID. And we're doing a lot of social outreach. And I'm going to continue doing that in the future. It's been really working out. The Rock just hit 30,000 unique visitors. That is an accomplishment for a Morro Bay news site. We're basically a very Morro Bay-centric news organization. And we're getting all this traffic from all over the world, not just Canada, but even as south as Chile, looking at the site. So what I want to talk about very briefly is the need to bring more international visitors here, not just Fresno or Bakersfield, but all over the world. We need to go to Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, and move beyond our reach, current reach now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Morning, board. Steve Buffalo, Morro Bay Harbor Festival. And I'm just here to give you a little quick update. The board has met, and we are going to start a promotion with the hotels where we're going to offer them up to 20 Harbor Festival tickets for the 6th and 7th of October as part of a promotional package at a discounted rate of $5 per ticket. So we're hoping, and we're going to limit that to about 20 tickets per hotel. So we think that's a good package to use. And we're going to be updating our website within the next few days. And we're going to be tying in all of the new information. And if you've noticed our Facebook page, we're up to over 5,700 hits on the Facebook page. So we're getting out quite a bit of promotion on that level. We are also working on a, and we have a deal struck for three different major radio stations in the Bakersfield to Fresno area, and some hotel packages we're working on for that weekend as part of a promotion. And so I just wanted to update you on those things, and we're moving forward, and you'll be getting.
So I've got a couple of things he was working on. He told me that he still was working with the city, setting up the corp and the bylaws and things like that. So we're working on that and completing applications for insurance bids for the nonprofit. So thank you for your time this morning.
Terrific. Thank you.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you very
much. I'm sure we'll have questions down
the
road.
Nice to see your face.
Thanks for coming, Sergio.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Glo Rivera, and I am with, our company has been subcontracted with the Chamber of Commerce here in Morro Bay to do their visitor's guide and their visitor's map. Just to give you a little background on my experience, I'm a promoter. I've had an advertising agency, a direct mail company. I founded and for 18 years put on the Pismo Beach Car Show, which is a 50,000 people event with a $2.2 million TOT tax revenue for that city. I've been in radio, TV, and had an ad agency, and I've been now privileged enough to work with the small businesses here in Morro Bay over the last probably 6 weeks. I am contracted for different chambers throughout the coast. The current situation I see between the Tourist Bureau and the Chamber is a very disappointing one. I've probably dealt currently with about 175 of the businesses in your community, and there is a lot of strife and a lot of problems with different opinions. Unfortunately, they're personal opinions and not wise business opinions regarding what's happening here. The Morro Bay map, and in my research on the maps, shows that GPS, internet, or anything else, the first person a consumer requests when they're thinking of going to a town is a map of that location. The benefit of using the chamber for that source is that they get the call from somebody who's interested in coming to the area. They put a packet together. In that is the map. That person has that map in their home. They're able to look at everything on the map, including the advertisements for where to stay, where to eat, what to do in the community. What's happening in the marketplace that I can see is that there's been some type of a ban of the hotels in Morro Bay proper to be on that map. So what's going to wind up happening is we will be going with that away from Morro Bay proper to find hotel listings to put on that map. The sad part about that is that it just creates a situation where 10,000 people within the year are going to be getting a map of your location in their homes, and they're not going to have the opportunity of the beautiful hotels right here in Morro Bay. And this is due to the friction between the Tourism Bureau and the situation with the Chamber and I think it's an image situation. I really try very hard not to be involved in this situation because my first priority is taking care of the small business person. Christy Latchler and I are both involved in the selling of the map. I wanted to let you know about that, and the very last thing I want to say to you is just like somebody drinks a Pepsi or a Coke, when they think of coming to a town, the first place they call is the Chamber. They don't think
Thank
about
you.
The Tourist Board
Thank
or the
much.
Hotel Association.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
so you.
You
might want to look at that and address that issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else for public comment? Well, first of all, as we go through, I'd like to thank Aaron. Priscilla, hi. Priscilla, come on up.
Good morning. This wasn't planned.
That's okay. Good morning. Welcome.
I emailed Jane last night, and I found out this morning that she's very ill, so I had to rush over. Anyway, my name is Priscilla Cole, and I'm with Morro Bay Sandpiper Inn, formerly known as Roadway Inn. And the reason why I'm here is to give you my input, if I can, and to let you know that I have not been following your meeting, so I don't know if you have addressed my issues. I would like to ask the board to visit or revisit advertising in Yelp.
Okay.
I think Yelp is very helpful for the motels. Mm-hmm. Right now, their major attractions are the restaurants. But since we are tourism, then we can also promote other businesses. And so anyway, Yelp is kind of expensive for small businesses. So if you can do it as a group, you will be able to expose the entire city of Morro Bay. And my personal stuff is, again, the new name is Morro Bay Sandpiper. The website is morrobaysandpiper.net. And I also would like to find out if there's any way that that we can do our own updates on our own website, not a third party. That way we can do it right away. Like in the chamber, they allow you to update your profile. You just have your own password. Right now we have to wait for somebody else who might be on vacation, you know, and it takes time. And money is time. And if each property is responsible for their own website, then the board might see some savings because you are not being charged a la carte. Okay? Thank you. Again, it's Morro Bay Sandpiper. And right now we're doing a 20% promotions for locals, families, perfect, and friends.
Thank you, Priscilla. Welcome back to the Morro Bay Sandpiper. All right. Back we go. Erin, I'd like to thank you for the website, rockthecoast.com, and the fact that you're pushing morrobay.org and Morro Bay Tourism. That kind of community support is very important to all of us and to our community. Steve Buffalo and the entire Harbor Festival team, great idea to partner with the hotels with a discounted ticket. We're going to be able to drive hotels to fill with that, I think, with packages for our hotels. And we'll connect with the Harbor Festival team and get more information back to the hotels through some information sharing, I guess. Sergio, is it Hara? Para. I beg your pardon. Sergio Para, welcome from Mackey Insurance. We appreciate that, and we appreciate your efforts, and thanks for your patience as we work through our bylaws. We need patience, too, as we do it. So. And Glo Rivera with the Visitor's Guide VisMap. I think one of the concerns that I would have there is that we made a very directed effort with the CPC when the CPC was here to try and direct everyone to one visitor's guide. And we have been using that visitor's guide for 2 years. It lists the restaurants. It lists all of the hotels, and, you know, it's a very comprehensive visitor's guide. It's about 40 pages. We mail it to anybody who wants it. We hand it out freely at the visitor center and the chamber office. It costs one arm, one leg, and a half of the other foot to produce, and it's very quality, high, glossy, beautiful piece of fulfillment, and that is the one guide that I think the hotels understand, and we have it available in all the hotels, and that's what we're trying to gear as we promote the city. So that might be why people are not picking up. And additionally, I think the hotels recognize that they're paying for the cost to produce that and print that, and they just don't want to stray away and have 50 pieces of fulfillment again as we try and gear down and brand ourselves. So that might be where that the lack of hotel participation is coming from, although I don't know. And Priscilla with the Morro Bay Sandpiper, welcome back. Great to see a classic Morro Bay hotel name back in the fray, and good to see her. And the comments about Yelp, it's exactly the kind of thing that we did with TripAdvisor, and that's been really working for us. We bought the destination page, so that's definitely something that we can bring up and put on our agenda and look at. It's good information. So with that, we'll close public comment unless anybody else. Nope. Okay. There we go. Public comment is closed. And we will move on now to board announcements. And there was the TBID VCB training at La Serena that, Michelle, can you give us a little coverage on that?
It went well. Brittany came out from the VCB, and there was maybe about seven hotels represented there. She gave a presentation on what, you know, they will be doing for the city. There's a lot of hoteliers that have not turned in their paperwork. So if you're out there, what I was going to ask the board to do is if they could all contact their constituents that are under their wing. I think everybody remembers we handed out six or seven. If you guys could all contact them and just say, could you please get that paperwork back? Joan's emailed out the applications. I've emailed out the applications.
There might be some confusion about existing concerning this, but something. So we are, as the Embarcadero Inn, in there already. So it just needs, it would save a lot of legwork for us in contacting the other ones if they don't need it duplicated.
Right. So what I'll do is I'll go through, we've got a list, Joan and I have a list of what information they do have, what hotels they do have. We'll clarify that, and then I'll send an email out to you guys letting you know who needs to be contacted, because out of the 33, I think the list was about 10.
And 10 who re-signed, yeah. And additionally, I have all the information from that workshop in my car. I have hard copies of it for you, which are, you know, all the benefits and whatnot that the people are going to get. I mean, they might want to know that. So I do have the hard copies in case you want to fax or anything like that. I'll give them to you afterwards.
Okay. So overall, it was great. It's moving along, but we still need to get those other handful in. And I think there's a little discrepancy on the existing hotels, so we'll clarify that. But overall, it was great, and they gave a lot of good information. So
terrific. Any other announcements from the board on anything coming up? Mid-State Fair is coming up. Welcome all the Mid-State Fair people. Pardon? Yeah? It's coming up. Mid-State Fair. Coming up.
You've also got the Renaissance Festival that's coming up over at El Choro. Weekend. That's actually not this weekend. It's the following weekend, the 21st and 22nd, and it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, and what's really great about the Renaissance Festival, I don't know if you've seen their ads on TV, they're advertising that the Renaissance Festival is halfway between Morro Bay and then they say San Luis. Okay, so approval of minutes. I trust everyone had a moment to look over and drill down on the minutes. Were there any corrections anyone wanted made? I looked them over and they looked fine to me, but I don't want to speak for you when you look at what you said.
Well, I looked them over while we were waiting for Michelle, and I didn't see any corrections, so I'd make a motion that we approve those minutes from last month.
Is there a second?
A second to it.
Okay. All in favor? Sorry, any more questions? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? There we go. Throw her under the bus. Okay. Unfinished business. And so today we have guests. Linda Sanpei is here from Sanpei Parker, and she's going to report on the recent Oyster Festival fam tour that was held. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, well, thank you. Welcome, and
thank
we
you.
Are looking forward to the report on the fam tour that was sponsored. Thank you. And for those out there in TV land, fam tour is a press. I love the word
familiarization.
Love that word. Tour that we sponsored and paid for.
Terrific. Well, thank you for having us back, and I think we had a absolutely outstanding time working with the constituency here in Morro Bay, putting together the fam tour, and had great success with the media who came out. So we'll cover a little bit of that. Some of the some of the highlights were we reached out to over 150 journalists to invite them to Morro Bay. In some instances, that piqued interest if they weren't able to attend. Most notably, Margot True with Sunset Magazine and Meredith May with the San Francisco Chronicle, both of whom want to come back and experience Morro Bay more in-depthly. The San Francisco Chronicle opportunity is going to be a big one for Morro Bay. And then we worked with the constituency to put together a compelling agenda that would be driven by the needs of the journalists. We worked with Chablis, Central Coast Outdoors, and Surrey's Kites and Moors to identify some opportunities there and hosted some of the journalists there. Some of our key hotel partners were Best Western San Marcos, Beach Bungalow, Days Inn, Embarcadero Inn, Estoro Inn, La Serena, and the Masterpiece. And some of our restaurant partners were Windows on the Water, Giancarlo's, Stacks, The Galley, Flying Dutchman, and Frankie and Lola's. In conjunction with the Oyster Festival, we also pitched Morro Bay. And some of the early placements included 805 Living, regionally, the Paso Robles Press, KSBY, and more. And some of the major hits prior to the media tour included the San Francisco Chronicle, the Sacramento Bee, Santa Barbara Independent, Yahoo, ABC7, Vino Las Vegas, and many others. Tasting panel did a nice little feature on the Oyster Festival and included some key highlights of Morro Bay, as did Gallo.com and Rudy's Max and others. Some of our media guests, and I must note that we had originally committed to 6 to 8 journalists to come to the area, and we were successful in hosting 12. They included Heidi Dvorak with Travel Girl and 805 Living, Wendy Van Driver, who will be doing an article for Tasting or Touring and Tasting magazine. Investments that we're yet to see will be in the Desert Sun, Cheers Magazine, Whole Life, LA City Guide, and Tasting and Touring. We put a PR newswire release out that reached over 88 million people. Our audience reach, and this is a combination of both broadcast and print, reached almost 13 million people. Our audience reach after the event, which are the articles that we just reviewed, reached over 24 million people, with a total number of impressions, and these are people who have heard of Morro Bay, and either through broadcast or print, is 125 million, almost 126. Total media value, which is quantified by Cisions, is $112,000. And so I think for the for what we were looking to do in a very short period of time, we had about 2 months to execute on this. I think that it speaks well for the fact that there is a lot of interest in Morro Bay. And I think that the community really received the media tour well, and we were really pleased to be working with you all. So thank you very much. I do think that one outstanding item that we had, we did succeed in bringing more journalists than we anticipated, and therefore needed to purchase some rooms at media rate, and so. We did our best to get them all comped, but we did have a couple of rooms, and I have an invoice for $406, which I'd like to submit as well. And I'd like to take a moment to answer any questions that you might have.
At this time, we'll open up to the board for questions that she might have. And I want to start with Alex. Do you have any questions for Linda?
You did a wonderful job, by the way. This was really good. I don't see any problem paying the bill, of course. That's my comment.
I think my question, Linda, is I'm not sure how you do the outreach to restaurants and hoteliers for comping the visitors coming in.
We would reach out to them and let them know that we're bringing journalists in. In the front end, we weren't sure who the journalists would be, so it's a little hard for some folks to commit to giving us rooms with the hopes that we are actually bringing in qualified people. I think now that we have worked with the hoteliers once, I think that we could. But there's probably a level of confidence that would come a second time around. But what we would do is, once we did have restaurants and hotel partners, we would give the opportunity to the journalists to decide which of those hotels or restaurants would be most accommodating for their particular publication.
And do you open this up to all restaurants and hoteliers in Morro Bay?
We looked at, I think we reached out to about a dozen varied restaurants, and we did reach out to several different hoteliers. I can't say that we reached out to every single one, but there's some targeted ones that were on the list that we felt that could potentially be written about.
Nick, any questions?
I thought from what I saw was very good, a lot of outreach. And do you plan on doing this next year as well?
The Oyster Festival or representing Morro Bay?
Well, representing Morro Bay.
We'd be delighted to represent Morro Bay at any time. And if working on bringing fam tours to the area is something that we can work with, partner with Barnett Cox on, we're happy to do that.
Mm. Michelle, any questions?
No, I don't think I have any questions, no.
So we have the issue of an outstanding bill of how much?
$406.74.
$406.74. Well, there's... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to recuse myself because I think partly that is my bill, so I'm going to recuse myself from the vote on that. Okay. That's up to you.
What were the partnering hotels so I can make sure that it's nobody else on the board?
Sure, it's Best Western, San Marcos, and La Serena.
Okay, because we have to have a quorum. Okay, so that's why I wanted to make sure we weren't. Thank you for pointing that out. It's $406. I do think that we got... first of all, I didn't say anything. That was a great report.
Thank you.
I wish all reports that came through, besides our fabulous marketing report that we get, I wish all post-event reports were so precise. So that was a fabulous report. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, and I do have copies for you.
Oh, terrific. And additionally, I did want to ask, can you make sure that in one email that you either get an email to myself and Michelle listing and including all of those publications, hard copies, or maybe you can do it through a PDF for those that were printed or links, and so that we can include those in our year-end market.
Restaurants and hotels involved, and not just the same hotels repeated or the same restaurant repeated.
Yeah, and
it would be nice to see that.
Yes, Alex, and I think, you know, based on the report that they would see from this year as we're reaching out, I think we'll have a lot more people offering their restaurants and hotels to us.
I agree. And also the reach out was so that, you know, this was a little bit of uncharted territory, so people were reluctant at first, and mm-hmm. then some of the reach out came a little bit close to the Oyster Festival, mm-hmm. and so hotels were already full
right.
and weren't available to release rooms, and so it was difficult in the fact that, you know, when you called a hotel, they were already full, they couldn't get the media room in,
right.
and there were, I think, several instances of that, you know, she had the experience with, because... It's just how it was.
Right.
So.
It was a jam-packed weekend.
Thing, right?
It was a good thing.
It's a good thing that the hotels were full. So, anyway, so we have an outstanding bill of $406.74, which Michelle has recused herself of. Thoughts on that?
I have one more question. Of that original $6,000, I think it was,
yes.
that we allocated for this fam trip, is that used? Were there restaurants that needed to be paid also? Is this over and above in terms of just rooms? Because you ended up with more riders than you thought you were going to, or
yes, our hotel partners comped all the meals, and that we had 10 rooms comped, and 10 rooms comped, and then two that we had to pay for. And so, yes, this is a result of having more journalists here than we originally anticipated.
Is there some way to control this in the future? I mean, I understand that you put out, I mean, I think, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I know it's not a lot of money, but everything kind of adds up. Mm-hmm. And if you are having trouble getting rooms to begin with, is there some way that you can cut off at a certain date for your travel riders? They need to respond by a certain date, because there was a lot of scramble in the last week, the last few days before this took place.
As a matter of fact, two of the people who are coming on, Jen Jones and Joe Donatelli, actually, we found out days before, and that caused us to scramble for those rooms. And they were two good publications. We didn't want to miss out on the opportunity of getting publicity in those two. And so we've already seen two articles from Joe, and we have one coming from Jen. And so I think the investment of our time and your thoughtfulness is going to pay off in the long run. But I think in the future, if we just say, yeah, it's going to max out at this, then that's what we'll hold to. I think we just tried to be accommodating this time around.
I think there's two things, and one has nothing to do with Linda. One thing is we don't have a media rate that we're willing to pay as a TBID board to our hotels. That makes it very difficult, trust me. When you're going around to get comped rooms for any reason, it makes it very, very difficult to have people step up on a summer weekend, because it hits you. It hits you. I mean, for the Oyster Festival to get it off the ground, I have 12 rooms. I had a quarter of my inventory out to the Oyster Festival trying to get that thing supported and get it moving. And when you do that and then you couple it with trying to promote Morro Bay and giving away more comp rooms, it's, it buckles your business for a little bit. You know, you get a nice wave in your business of how it flows. And so, I think it's difficult for people to, and so that's a future agenda item for us to consider what we would use as a media rate. I do think we need to have a media rate, because I think hoteliers would be more apt to participate on a holiday weekend or on a Saver weekend or a Harbor Festival weekend with getting media tours in here if we had a media rate that we offered.
And I think that's very important, and I think it definitely is something that we should revisit, because we want the media to come in when we're doing something, when the weather's nice, that only makes sense when there's an event going on, and to be able to go out to all of our hoteliers and say, we need this many rooms, this is what we can pay for them, and if we build that into our future FAM tours, I think that would be a really good idea.
So on this, it's part of the problem of the 406.74 cent overage is our issue as well. It's an internal issue as well. I think it's great that we had more journalists. Who doesn't want to come to Morro Bay, right? So I think it's terrific that we had more journalists.
Well, and I think if we had a media rate, then we wouldn't feel so uncomfortable to say, oh, because I hate to tell journalists not to come.
Oh, yeah.
I would rather see the extra journalists come. And I just want to clarify, too, I did give some comped room. So it wasn't
I didn't
give any comped. It's just at one point I cut off, and that's where I charged a media rate. So, and it was an $89 rate, by the way. So I just want it open, because I don't want anybody down the line saying anything. So
she was also absorbing Oyster Festival rooms too.
Exactly. And that was it. So I kind of got to a point where I couldn't absorb anymore. So just, I want that all out there, because I don't want anything
anyways,
coming back.
So,
right. And the Best Western San Marcos was $89 rate as well.
So. Yeah. So when we look at the $406.74, I think it's partly our system and partly a great thing that media want to come. I don't have a problem paying it. I think we can make some adjustments to the future so we don't have this type of thing. I agree with Karen that it's a little amount of money, but every little amount of money racks up and it, it notches up. So I think we do have to be very careful with it. And so I'm looking for a motion. Oh.
Move to approve invoice of $406.
74 cents.
And 74 cents.
Okay.
I'll second.
Further discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 4.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Since our last meeting and the red wine that we all turned in on time on July 1st, to Rob, he kind of pushed those together, took those red wine comments, and then What we did was, we do have an attorney of record on this issue. Our attorney of record is John Lambeth, and once we had all of the board's red line comments, Rob Schultz, myself, and Michelle, we sat down. We had a conference call with John Lambeth to go over some of the questions and concerns that we had, making sure that some of our red line comments could be included, what issues we had, mostly concerned the Brown Act. It also concerned board configuration. Almost every one of us, the comments that we sent back to Rob were drilled around those two things, making sure that the Brown Act was complied with, how we did that, board configuration, who selected the board, how did people retire from the board or resign, and those types of things. So we did put those questions to him. He is the one who is building our bylaws for us. He is the foremost attorney on this. As a matter of fact, he has formed almost every BID in the state and outside of the state. He is, he knows what he's doing. And so he's our attorney of record for the TBID. So he advised us. He is making the corrections and addressed the concerns that we had, and will be getting us back that copy of the bylaws. It would be my suggestion here today that we not go over the bylaws line by line, but that we wait for that copy to come back to us, have that copy be distributed to us, and then hold a special meeting to go back over those, or conversely, that we allow those bylaws to come back to us. We form a subcommittee, and Michelle and I have already met with the attorney because we're chair and vice chair. We would be able to add one more person to that subcommittee to sit down, go back to the attorney again, and really focus in on those bylaws, and then bring the entire board back an almost clean product. So which direction would you prefer to go as a board?
Well, it seems like something this important. I'm not sure, just on the surface, having a subcommittee go through the whole thing and then, okay, now here, board, here it is, without the other members that are not on the subcommittee not see the process or be involved in the process. So, you know, I think if we did do a special meeting, that would include all the board, and they could see, you know, the progression and make sure they feel comfortable with what's being put in and what's being left out.
Karen?
I think there's going to be more issues that have to deal with the mission statement, the bylaws, the organization, the hiring process. So I think a special meeting to kind of bring that all together in the open forum would probably be the best idea.
Alex?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is...
Okay.
We write it to a certain level, and then we have to finalize it, mm-hmm. and that requires their input. You know, at the first level is all basic. These are vanilla type of write-up. I'm sure the lawyers know that. You know what I'm saying? But when we want to make it something unique for Morro mm-hmm. Bay and us, it's good to have everybody's input in it.
I do have one question. Did you say that you had already had one phone conversation with
yes.
Mr. Lambeth?
Mm-hmm.
And can you kind of fill us in on the direction that went in at this point?
Sure. I have some... information. I took notes. Michelle took notes too. Hang on 1 second. Let me grab them. Not a funding.
Maybe start with what the main. I don't know how to put this, but like if there was one issue that concerned the majority of
yes.
the feedback from members concerning the bylaws.
Thank you, Karen. Yes, one of the main issues that concerned everyone was. How the directors would be appointed on the board, and most of us sent back comments about whether we could expand the board. And it is clear that we can. The TBID, our current TBID situation, would be basically a pass-through, and that it would be a mirror image. Because this TBID board is an advisory body of the City of Morro Bay, the 501c6 then is... subject to the Brown Act, which means that we cannot create a quorum, meet secret, you know, we have to post everything we do here, we still have to do there at the 501c, but that does not preclude us from adding other members like restaurateurs, and we can have a board where we have additional members. We are formed under the 89 Act, so it requires our advisory board to be appointed by council. The members who would be additionally added would be considered a statutory versus non-statutory members. So the TBID board would be statutory standing members, then there would be non-statutory members who basically would, you know, be the general board versus the executive board.
No, but it wouldn't be in there like that. In the bylaws, it wouldn't. Basically, your TBID board would follow over. Mm-hmm. Our thought was, is in the future, down the line, if we wanted to get buy-in and get other people involved, could we do that? And he was saying, yeah. So, absolutely. But your same seven members would be your voting members, but you could just add other people on as we see fit.
So will we get like some kind of summary overview of your conversations with Mr. Lambeth before the special meeting, or
yes,
recommendations in terms of changes to the bylaws as put out originally?
We had this meeting with him this week, Monday. Okay. So he did not have opportunity to go back, take all of our redlined, basically take the overview that Rob made of our redlined comments, take those, take our conversations and our concerns from those. He basically told us some of those things you can do, some you can't already, so don't even bother sending those to me. Send to me all those things that I just, basically that the whole board sent through, and he will include in the bylaws what he legally can include in the bylaws, and then get us back that copy for our next discussion. And that's basically where we're at.
There was a lot of red line about city council and having kind of the final say, and because of the 89, we're an advisory board to the city council, and that's not going to change. And I know that was brought up quite a bit, and that was a lot of our discussion too, is the city council will appoint the board and they will have final say on the board.
Yeah, they'll appoint the TBID board.
Yeah.
And the TBID board bylaws stay the same. We've got the restaurant, rather.
So if we add other members, are we expanding the TBID board as appointed?
No.
No. Okay, so those would be appointed by board of directors.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
And
those can change.
That's right. In essence, the board of directors is the TBID board, which includes two citizens at large, Nick and John. And then that board can have go out and seek additional members for the board to have more community involvement.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, and there was some question about computer conferencing, Skype versus phone conferencing, and that's all considered the same thing. So if you have a member who's in Hawaii, where every member wants to be, then they can Skype in from the beach. So that kind of thing was covered too. Okay. And so what we'll do then is we'll look to, everybody bring their calendars? Would it be possible to look at a general calendar and see if we could give Rob a week that we could possibly set a special meeting for? I mean, I really don't want to see it be next week. If we could do it like 2 weeks from now. That
when is going to finish his?
Well, if we can. You mean Rob or John Lambeth? We can give him a date that we have a special meeting for, and I'm sure he can meet that date for us. So if we do we want to do the last week of July, the first week of August?
Well, I'd like to see if he can finish it, maybe send us to us first.
Absolutely.
Before the meeting, so we're not just sitting in the meeting, reading the stuff, you know?
If we set the meeting and let him know that that's the goal, that we need that 4 days out prior to that or something like that, then that's what's going to happen. But the longer we wait to set the meeting, the longer it's going to take to get the information back.
Well, and I think, too, like Karen was saying, maybe with that same meeting, some of these other items can roll
absolutely
into those same things.
Yeah, I think we can probably put the mission statement there, too, and just do a special meeting on mission statement and bylaws. So Is anybody opposed to a special meeting the last week of July?
Mm-hmm. What about Thursday the 26th? Which, because we normally are Thursday.
Well, what if we gave him, like...
Oh, a couple days?
Yeah, 2 days. Because our next meeting is the 9th of August.
What about Thursday the 26th or August the 2nd?
Thursday the 26th or August the 2nd. Okay, let's give those mm-hmm. to Rob. Jamie, do you mind? Okay. Let me make note.
Any time or morning?
I think morning is probably better, but let me ask the board.
Yeah, morning is better.
Morning's preferred, but I'm pretty open Thursdays.
Yeah. Why don't we come back and discuss the mission statement also at that special meeting if the board is not opposed?
And one thing that John had mentioned too, Lambeth had mentioned that on the bylaws, the TBID mission statement should probably be under these bylaws as well.
That's right. That those mission statements
just
should
keep
almost,
that in mind.
Yeah, they should almost mirror each other, is what. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So let's include that in the special meeting. And now we move to D. I feel like we're pressing on here. Discussion on the development of public service announcements to create awareness of the benefits of tourism in Morro Bay. And for that, I think Sherry has a report. Yay. Good morning, Sherry.
We discussed at the last meeting the possibility of doing TV spots and then also talked about some radio spots for these PSAs that would make basically Morro Bay residents aware of the importance of tourism and how it benefits them. So you have a couple of estimates in front of you. The first is for what I guess you would call a TV spot. AGP does not do video TV spots. We can only do them in slides. So this is for a 3-4 slide commercial that would air on AGP. And it's basically for coming out, getting a photographer to come out and shoot photos of city workers, public safety workers, with business owners and employees to get that message across. And I think we can have some really strong messages in that PowerPoint as far as, you know, the tourism dollars pay for your, you know, fire truck or your employee or your police department, public works as well. So the estimate is for $960, which is for the, production, the creative and production of that spot, and then it would go on to the AGP video public access channel, and that would be the extent of the cost for that PSA. We also, the second page is for a radio spot that we talked about doing on local community radio, and this is basically just for writing the radio script and having it produced, and it would mirror the TV spot. That estimate is for $320. So we would come in at about $1,300, a little under $1,300 to be able to get out on those channels. We also discussed doing a video. However, there really is, unless we want to pay to go on KSBY, which I researched a couple of opportunities there, but it's, as you can imagine, it's fairly expensive and you're hitting, you know, way outside your market. I mean, you will hit Morro Bay, but you'll also be hitting Santa Barbara and San Luis and people who aren't particularly concerned. So I think this is a good starting point, and I think you're going to, you know, reach an audience that's willing to listen. So
this is for production costs, and there's no placement cost then in either with either AGP or community radio?
Pretty sure. We haven't totally researched the radio station, but Joan and I discussed it a little bit that we may be able to do it. It's a, you know, generally PSAs are broadcast free. You don't always get your best pick of, you know, but I just think on both community stations, I think we would be free of charge and fine.
There's a local, new local Morro Bay AM radio station. Hal Abrams has spoke before us, and I actually am sitting on the board trying to help him get that going, and just got an email from him yesterday that he is looking for programming and information about Morro Bay, so this fits right in there. And, you know, they do put those up for relatively inexpensive. I think they consider it a donation, although I'm unclear right now. But we could get that clarified, definitely.
You know, on the spots, if we do still photography, would there be a message below the below? And would it be, could we take it in quickly enough as it flashes by? I mean, is all that in taken into account and all?
Yeah, I think if we do the three or four slides, which AGP actually said we could do as many slides as we want, but you really don't want to bore people with 12
right.
slides. So we thought three to four was good. But, yeah, we think the messaging can be very – and it can be done very well. I mean, mm-hmm. those the photos can be tell the story, but we would definitely have a message that would carry over to radio. And I think there's some online opportunities, too. We would want this on your website and, you know, possibly some other local website outlets. Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to the board for discussion then. Your thoughts? We'll start with Alex.
Well, I think if we're going to do that, we definitely should do it on, you know, either website or...
But I think this is a good start just to kind of get awareness out there, and then maybe in 6 months, once we've got our director of tourism, then maybe we do something a little bit grander, I would say. But I think this is a good start. It's... Yeah.
Okay, I think that there's a need for this. I'm just a little concerned about, and I'm happy to see a $1,300 production cost. I think that's very reasonable. I'm a little concerned about our outreach with our free of charge placement. You know, what we're going to actually, how many people we're actually going to reach for $1,300. So I'm a little hesitant in being 100% behind this. I think we need to do this. I think it's a real important effort by the TBID in terms of, you know, creating an awareness within the community of what tourism, of the importance of tourism dollars and what they pay for. But I'm just not real sure that this is, I mean, I'm kind of getting a feeling that this is kind of, it's going to be $1,300, it's not going to go very far. $1,300 is not a lot of money, but again, it's like 406. They all add up a little bit.
Well, I agree with Michelle. I think it's a good start. And I see these stills, if they're done in a way where they could be used in other things as far as print media or other websites. And, you know, so it could go beyond this, because I'm not sure how many people are actually going to see this anyway. But it's a good start. And once we get things organized and the director of tourism on board, and we can expand it from there, I think.
You know, unfortunately, with our website, it's the outreach is to residents, citizens of Morro Bay. Now, how many of them go on our website to kind of check in on the website and see what's going on here? My guess would be not a lot. So, you know, it kind of gets lost all the way around, I think, with this kind of a commitment. So, I mean, to me, it's like we need to start somewhere, but do we spend $1,300 now that doesn't go very far, or do we hold that money back, wait until we get a plan in with a director of tourism where we can be a little more aggressive and do something that's a little more effective?
Go ahead, Michelle.
And I completely agree, Karen. I agree. I just think that I'm afraid we're going to miss the boat. If we wait too long, I'm afraid we're sinking our ship pretty far down. Is what I feel like we need to do a little of something.
You know, I disagree. I mean, I don't think that you. It's kind of interesting because in reviewing mission statements under the CPC's mission statement, there was a direct relationship to this type of thing that I don't think ever took place as far as in the last 4 years that I've been involved in the city of Morro Bay. So, I mean, I don't think that we need to jump in right now just because the issue has been brought up and spend money to do something that's not going to go anywhere when we could hold back a little bit longer, maybe spend a little more money and do something a little more effective.
Is anybody back there with AGP that can hear me that knows your viewership?
Hello.
That'd be interesting. Would be interesting to know. He came out and said that they didn't know it right off the top here, but they could probably find that out. Be very interesting to find out their viewership first prior to making this decision. I mean, if their viewership is 200 people, which I don't think it is, I think it's, you know, more likely a higher number. And I see Hank giving me the one moment, please, with the pen. Hank Roth, thank you for joining us today. This is your first meeting, and we're pleased to have you.
Yes, it is. Thank you, and my pleasure, too. When I was working for the police department, you know, we did my little neighborhood watch promotions, and it was 4,000 to 6,000 households that we reached. You know, how many people were watching TV, you know, that I can give you, you know, I had anecdotal evidence for a lot of people watched, but that was how many households, and that was three years ago. So.
Okay, great. Good to have you here today.
I am surprised at how many people come to me and say they see me on TV.
So for me,
I think that AGP is more of our local. I think people watch it more than they see it. Maybe in the background, they might be doing their dishes, they might be doing whatever, but I really do feel AGP does get, for what our purpose is, out there. And I think, like what Nick was saying, if this is something that this is kind of where we start and this is something we could use down the line, I think it's a great starting point. Right. I get where Karen's coming too, but I want to see us get a little bit of people joining our bandwagon.
I think it's also, I agree. I think if you put it in there, but the frequency is important too. Mm-hmm. Is how many times you run it. It's just, you know, because not everybody watch, you know, certain time. So yeah, I think if you put it as many times over, you probably get quite a bit of more than even 4,000.
And the other thing is
where to guide people to, and it's just a jumping off point that we can build that information to. And if it is 4,000, let's look at the low number that Hank gave us. If it's 4,000 households, we have to remember that we have 10,000 citizens here, and a lot of them are here only part of the year. But if 4,000 households are looking, you have to remember that a lot of those citizens are going to be kids too. I mean, there's 500 kids at the elementaries. That's 4,000 households. It's a good number of people that it reaches during the month. So I'm okay with it. I guess I would look for a motion either way. I would see if somebody's willing to jump in and go one way or the other on this. I'd look for a motion either way. I personally, it's a jumping off point. It is $1,300. I'd like to know where we're going to take it from in the budget. Where would you be looking to take that from? And we do have a new copy of the budget here, which I'll pass down to everyone.
And I would assume this would go to, say, creative or PR or some committee to work with. Okay.
Would it be out of the 2012-13 budget or this current one, since we're so close to the end here of this fiscal year?
No, it would be 2012-2013, because everything July 1st forward is hitting the new budget, which you don't have.
Right.
You don't have a new budget yet.
So we're looking at next year's budget.
Yes.
This would come from. So,
to be clear, though, I mean, we just all got the budget. We have money left over from last year's budget going in.
We do, but we have outstanding invoice, too.
Right, right. I will make a motion that we approve or that we have Sherry move forward on the proposal, the estimate that's before us, and I would have it go to the PR subcommittee and have them work with the PR subcommittee.
I have still one question. Do we want to do the radio as well, or just do the, the print and the...
Well, I think since we have a new radio station coming on board, it'd be nice to kind of
help them.
It would be a way of helping them. They would get some, you know, we would almost be partnering with them. So I think it would be good. We should include the radio as well.
I would say radio, and in my motion, I would do both estimates, the AGP and the radio.
We have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I just want to clarify the amendment. It would include the PR subcommittee would overview or get. See proofs and that kind of thing? Okay. Well, I'll second the motion then.
Just one more thing. What is our metric to see how the outreach is. I mean, do we have any way we're going to figure out something like these places we're going to at least put our ad out? What do we think we're going to be, you know, at least on average, who's going to be, you know, 4,000, 3,000? What is really...
Well, this is interior for Morro Bay, so you're right. It's going to be difficult. I think when we do a TV ad like this, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for us to measure unless we ask AGP for their statistics on viewership for the month, which I think we can do.
And I will do that. I can get you a reach and frequency. It sounds like they've just got somebody back at the office that has that information. I'll get that, put that information together. We can do the same thing with the radio.
Exactly.
And look at Bay News if we're going to do that, and we can put that all together, kind of get what the target demo, what your reach and frequency would be for this.
That would be excellent. I think if we have that, that's fine.
So we have a motion on the table, which, Jamie, would you mind reading that back to us? Here we go again. Welcome to the age of the microphone.
Subcommittee.
Okay. All right. And so would the PR subcommittee be developing the concept, and then the creative side of it would go back to creative? Because that's what we've been doing with budget, and then the concept and the PR and the whole bit. Okay, good. So this isn't going to go through 9 committees and then get back and be done, you know, next November. Not this November, next November. This is going to move forward. That's all I want to make sure. Okay. Motion on the table. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. 1. Okay. And are you on PR?
She is. I am.
All right. Go for it, Karen. You're welcome. There you go. Okay. Sorry. Got to get back to my agenda here. My page flipped.
Page, which we talked about earlier today, we are on board with this for an entire year, and they recently reconfigured their sponsorship page, and we saw a really big increase as far as click-throughs. Last month we had a 1.77, and this month it was 7.38. Part of it is the fact that they have reconfigured and they've made it easier for people to access the events and some of the photos. And then we've been very, very active in submitting events, videos, photos, and all of that brings it up to a little bit higher level. So they were really happy. Those are just some comments from the rep at TripAdvisor. And we're talking to them about the upcoming year and have a proposal, which I'll be submitting to you with the budget, new budget, as we go forward. This is our LA Times banner ad campaign. It ended June 30th. We did a lot of different products from LATimes.com, so this ad showed up on their Travels and Deals blog. It showed up on their travel blog. also went out in some newsletters, and statistics stayed pretty consistent, rose a little bit in June, so things are looking good, and we're getting some good response on the website from them clicking through from the LA Times. And these are just some of the products. We're also doing a mobile. Up in the corner is their mobile app. So that's our ad that shows up on the top of people's phones when they go to latimes.com. Some of their newsletters and our advertising showing up on their pages, all online. This is visitcalifornia.com. We had advertised earlier in the year with visitcalifornia.com. It's very, the site is so robust that it's very difficult for them to fulfill the impressions that we want, because they've got so many advertisers and they've got so many, you know. So we actually signed up for 50,000 impressions and they weren't able to fulfill, so it's going to run into July. So we'll have some presence on visitcalifornia.com in these couple of weeks as well. So they had a tourism meeting yesterday where visitcalifornia.com presented, and those people are moving and shaking. It's really, I'll have a little bit more on that later on. This is our Bay Area News Group online campaign, which hits mercurynews.com up in San Jose, Contra Costa Times, siliconvalley.com, and insidebayarea.com. So all very geo-targeted but robust websites. And this month we've been doing, they missed the iPad app. We've been doing both iPhone apps and their iPad app. And they've been experiencing the same thing, that they're just, you know, running. So many people are wanting to advertise that they're having a hard time fulfilling impressions. But we got a great great run off of this, over 2,300 clicks in 1 month. So this is a great market for us, and it's working well. This is Travel Coupon Guide, which is just the we looked at the hard copy that goes out. It's kind of a little bit of a lower-end magazine, but they have some great stats. They put all our ads on their coupon guide.com is basically what their website is, and it's all added value for what we did in the hard copy. So that ran through May and June, and then we're running again in November and December with them. Oh, there's the hard copy right there. So that's our cover page that we did for the Travel Coupon Guide, and that's their website, hotelcoupons.com. And these are the inside pages that we also purchased.
May I jump in?
There
sure. was some question about whether we want to do this again, and this is a discussion that the board has to look at, based on the fact that the Travel Coupon Guide down there has now placed their QR code. So we bought the cover, and we've traditionally bought the cover. Morro Bay has, like, once a year for the past probably 5 years, four years from the TBID. Before that CPC did. That QR code on there is their QR code. They won't allow us to put our QR code on there and conflict with their QR code, although we've bought the cover. So that QR code goes into their website, which then if people want to go to Morro Bay, they have to go in there and find us and drill through. So that's... That'll be a question that'll come up in the future if we actually want to jump in there, if they want to allow us to put our QR code, or if they're going to continue to have their QR code on the front cover and not on the back. So just information.
Sherry, where are these distributed at? I mean, all of California or? Because it seems like I've seen these, like, but I hadn't seen our cover. I mean, is it...
Go up to the gas station or
okay.
Foster Freeze.
No, I mean...
Conde Nast or something for the non-economy segment. We might want to continue in an economy segment. Not we might. We should continue in an economy segment as well. So we have to cover all of our bases.
How many hotels do they have their coupon in there?
There's quite a bit, actually. If you open it up, I think there's probably 10. And that's just me guessing, yeah. But I know I know Karen's got her property. I know I've got my property. And when you open it up, I want to think both two pages are full of Morro Bay.
If that's the case, then I think it makes sense. But if there's not many participants, then I would say, you know,
yeah. Well, also
we shouldn't.
And I can't see that from here, but I believe the cover says... Does the cover say morrobay.org on it, right under our little logo? Thank you. Yeah, so we can't put our QR code up there, but it does say morrobay.org, which is, you know, highly helpful.
I've done it before, and I wasn't really successful with it, to be honest with you, because I didn't get many people coming through. So maybe other people have a better, you know... success with it, but if we don't have many hotels there, then it's waste. That's my comment. You know.
I think we're getting into discussion on travel
coupon.
Yeah, we
are getting into discussion.
Maybe
I just wanted to let you know.
Should we put it on the agenda for next? We're probably going to have to notify them in a timely manner. So
we're
dropping, I don't know.
December. And I think they would probably have better participation too if we let hoteliers know out in front. Hey, it's August. We're going to be buying the cover. Do you want to put an ad
in there? Absolutely, because
so
they
there
can
go
month to month also.
Yeah. So that's important. Okay. So sorry, Sherry. Continue
on. No, that's what this is all about. Okay, this is the Slow VCB ad that we've been running since April, I believe, and we're contracted with them all the way through the end of 2013, so we've just got a various sizes of banner ads running on Slow VCB website. This is our July e-blast for the specials and deals. We had a little bit of a glitch with the first e-blast that went out in that it did not click to two places. We originally had see our new website and the whole thing clicked to the homepage. So we waited about, I think, 12 days and sent it out again, rearranged the artwork a little bit, and this goes through to the specials and deals page. So
mm-hmm. That's a beautiful ad.
Yep.
That's gorgeous.
It's an e-blast.
Yeah, very, very pretty e-blast. Gorgeous.
Yeah. And this was the one that had the dog on it, and we had a lot of flack. And he blogged. This is a person from Fresno who's an anchor on their CBS affiliate TV station, blogged about the fact that we put the dog in the ad. And when he got this one, he blogged again that we had taken it out. So we've got some good, promotion from him, and he's eager to... we've been feeding him some Morro Bay information, so I think something will come to fruition.
Are we doing two e-blasts through the summer, or was that because we changed our ad a little bit, tweaked it a little bit for July, or is this going to be... I mean, I think constant contact is a pretty low cost for e-blasts, so...
Yeah, it's very inexpensive. Morro Bay has a great database of over 10,000 people, and they're pretty responsive to it, and I think we should start doing more. I think we should start doing some different, I think we should always do the specials and deals, but I think there's some events that we can drive them to. So I think we should put a schedule together to do, two at or three at max. I don't want to burn people out, but I think two a month is reasonable.
I'm signed up for both Santa Barbara, Ventura, all the way up and down the coast, and most of them, Monterey, they do one that's hotel specials and deals, and then they do another one that has something compelling. Like I just sent, I think it was at Santa Barbara's, it was like, we've got this going on, our summer is active and fun, or you can rest your toes in the sun, I mean, that kind of thing, and then it's, stay at these fabulous hotels too while you do that. But it lists what you can do, like 4th of July and all that kind of stuff. So it was very compelling. I think that, and it's cheap for them. It's very cheap.
Good. Okay. I've been working quite a bit with VCB and Saver because they have a lot of packages that are going out to all the T-bids and VCBs that are active with Saver. So this was a package that we put together for the Morro Bay Saver Ultimate Getaway, which actually happened. It's up on the Saver website, it's on their Saver Facebook page, and we are going to put this on the morrobay.org homepage and get it across our social media channels as well. All of the entries are going to a specific place that, and I just wanted to update you, they are in production and they are supposed to roll out at Hearst Castle between the 21st and 29th of July. So we're going to go up and shoot some photos when that happens, so we'll have some good... get some good press on that. I think it'll be beautiful. And then we obviously had a great report on the Oyster Festival. The press was amazing. I think next year we'll have a lot of press prior to the event. I think people were waiting to see if it was going to be successful, so a lot of the articles hit after. But we did get some coverage. We got KSBY coverage before and after the event. This is an article that Linda showed earlier in the meeting from the Monterey Herald, which I thought was great. This is the Examiner photo or article from one of the media people that came to Morro Bay. She's with LAExaminer.com and specific to Epicurean travel. She did that's a 3 or 4 page article that's online and was a hard copy too. She did a beautiful job. And she brought her dogs and she really, highlighted the fact that Morro Bay is very pet friendly, and it was a great deal. These are some blogs that have been... we've been alerted to. This is a Lynn and Zach travel blog. They did a whole deal on Morro Bay in the end of June. And then the Fresno Bee, this was another deal on lots of festivals. They got the Mermaid and Pirate Festival. They also have the Oyster Festival. And this came out before the Oyster Festival, which was nice in Fresno. The Tribune, this is just last weekend, did a great article on the run on July 7th. So, and KSBY did a great job of covering that as well. And then we're working on some press releases right now. We're working on the Avocado and Margarita Festival press release, the Morro Bay Triathlon. I've been in touch with All Out Events as far as, you know, we're gearing up. We're about 3 months away from that event. So they're in good shape. They've really added a lot of great events to their palette. And so I think we're going to have a good turnout. They've got a lot of good outreach going on. And then we want to, towards... I think mid-August, we want to get a press release about everything that we're doing affiliated with Savor, the adventure tours. Even though those tours the adventure tour is sold out for Morro Bay, and I ran into a little obstacle with VCB that they weren't advertising the tour because it's sold out. And I said, well, you still have to get it out. You know, that's our kind of claim to fame. So they've remedied that situation, and we are back up on the event website. And, you know, obviously the Battle of the Bay is going to be big, and as soon as... And
they sold out.
It's sold out. And they're you know, obviously we're waiting just for some new details on that, and as soon as we get that, we'll have a release going for the Battle of the Bay. Google Analytics, the website, I'll start this with saying we have been having some challenges with the website analytics. You probably saw that when I sent the analytics out Tuesday. We are working through those, and we've been able to retrieve most of the analytics for the individual hotels. That's the problem that we're having. We've changed some things on the website, so some of the analytics are going to drop out. The fact that it used to take 4 or 5 clicks to get to your hotel websites. We, you know, when we built the new website, it's now 2 clicks to get to your website. So that takes out some of the listing page views that we originally used to report on. But we are fixing it, and, you know, I apologize for not having that information. But this is the total website visits, which are up. This is for June, comparing to June 2010. So we're up about 21%. Page views are up as well, as far as people spending some time on the site. And these were our new visitors, which went up a little bit actually from last month and last year. And then we're still seeing a big increase. This is actually smartphone visitors went down, didn't go down, but the percentage went down a little bit last month, but it's back up, and I think it's because people are on the road. It's, you know, that's what they're using. Again, tablet and iPad, smart device visitors is up hugely, and I think we'll continue to see that rise. These are our top referring URLs, tons of referrals from the city. VisitCalifornia.com came up there pretty high in third place. LATimes.com, this sort of speaks to the online advertising that we're doing, and then some others that fall in down below. And our top referring cities continually changing places, but happy to see that Los Angeles and San Francisco are in our top 3 spots, also hitting the Central Valley very well, San Jose, San Diego, and Sacramento. So, and our JackRabbit analytics, JackRabbit clicks are up for June. Okay. So these are just some posts on 4th of July talking about coming and enjoying Morro Bay. This was all about the Central Coast Oyster Festival. We got a huge response to when we were announcing the Oyster Festival, and then afterwards people responding to what they liked about it. So this was a photo that showed up on the Visit California Facebook page. This was their front and center cover photo. They changed them about every 5 days, so we were... glad to be able to capture it. I can't even see up there, but I know at last count there were over 150 comments on that page. A lot of them, where is, you know, that's just gorgeous, where is it? We posted Yeah, we shared it with...
Who's that photographer, do you know?
I don't know. I've seen that photo before, though. They didn't give him credit, but... we posted back to Visit California, you know, to thank them for running the photo, and so it just created a lot of good buzz about Morro Bay, so we'll keep watching for that. And I think this is now your Morro Bay's Facebook page, us posting it back and getting lots of responses from that as well. These are Twitter posts, cinnamon rolls in Morro Bay. They like them. some beautiful photos. I know, I was like, what was that? I couldn't figure that out. more Twitter, some restaurant photos, and just some great comments. And then we have started our Pinterest account where people are, you know, we're pinning Morro Bay events and photos and things like that. People are taking things off of our Morro Bay page and putting them on their Pinterest page, so a little bit of action there. And then I just wanted to touch briefly on some marketing recommendations that we've been researching for fall. Some of these are actually happening. A lot of them are just to be discussed and to figure out what we want to do for the coming fiscal year. We are going in Sunset Magazine in their September issue, which is their coastal issue. It hits August 27th, I think. So it's perfect for Savor. It's perfect for the Harbor Fest. And we'll have an ad in Sunset Magazine, and then we picked up an added value free ad in their Weekend Escapes Magazine, which is something that is purchased, point of sale type magazine, but they do very well. And that's a full California run that we're doing in Sunset. As I mentioned, we're pursuing all of the Savor social media opportunities and any packages that they have. We are on that, and that'll be happening for the next 3 or 4 months up until the event. As I said, we have a proposal from TripAdvisor for the sponsorship page, which I think is kind of a no-brainer that we need to do. And then we're working out the details for a banner ad campaign, but we'll need to bring that to budget. TripAdvisor.com also has a virtualtourist.com, which I've been looking into. I'm not absolutely certain that it's as vibrant as TripAdvisor, but it's something that I'm researching right now. We've talked about the Palm Springs contingency, so we're looking at the Desert Sun for an online campaign there, possibly in the fall or maybe not until the spring of 2013. The Bay Area News Group is, I think, vital, and we should probably be in there in some way, shape, or form. Sunset.com has been very successful. VisitCalifornia.com. We're already signed up with SlowVCB for the year. And we also just put an ad in a Canadian travel magazine that actually is pretty centered on their travel agents. It goes out. It's online for a year, our ad, which clicks through to the website, but also hits a lot of their travel professionals. So,
and could you check into Yelp, adding Yelp to that list? Okay, just Yelp that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and I think the reason we didn't do Yelp was a budget concern. It is, as Priscilla mentioned, it is expensive, but if the returns are good, we just need to figure that out. And I think that is...
Sherry, I've got a question.
Sure.
We looked at the huge increase in response by smartphones and devices, and we're looking at placement from a mobile point of view in several of our ad placements. Is anybody reviewing our mobile website? Because it's my understanding that when you're going from a smart device or mobile to an internet website, you're not getting the full impact as you would if you're going to a mobile, directed to a mobile website. So I'm just wondering, you know, if are we keeping up on that? Is that being reviewed? Do we need to open discussion on reviewing that? Or
I think we need to. We've talked about it casually as far as we need to get a mobile-friendly site set up, similar to what, if you remember, it was just the Morro Bay with the logo, and then it had, you know, maybe five choices. It's hotels, dining, a map, very succinct.
Do you have the VCB app? Have you seen the VCB app, I guess should be the question. Yeah, so it would be, in my mind, it's a totally separate deal the way that app operates than the way their website operates. And I agree with you, in the past ours operated almost the same. We had these lists of, you know, hotels that you drilled through, or lists of restaurants, and but there were so many of them. So maybe we can, yeah.
It's been, you know, advancement in that
sure.
particular area. So I think we'll.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's been advancement.
Yeah, it changes every hour. So.
So I will put that for a future agenda item and have you get back. Ask you if you can get back to the budget subcommittee with some ideas on that this month, so that we can bring a nice report back. Terrific. Okay. And any questions for Sherry besides that?
Yeah, I have a comment on the website, and it seems that there are at least some hoteliers that they're not happy with the new website. They don't feel like it's as user-friendly as the old one. Now, sometimes it's because you're comfortable with something and it's new, but is there any way we could somehow get maybe send something out and make sure we get the feedback and see what is we missing, what's the problem, and maybe we can improve on the website? Some sort of survey or some sort of an email, even if you don't want to, you know, you can attach and see if anybody has been using it and if there have any problems with it, what kind of improvement they recommend.
Are you talking about to the hotels? So we blast the hotels with very similar to that, like this just went out, quick through to the new website, and let us know what you think.
No, I'm thinking more as far as how they use it.
You're talking about general user.
That's right, the general user. But I think the hotelier is probably the one that they use it probably more often than everybody else. Hope everybody else is using it, but it. But if we can at least get the feedback from the number of hotels we have and see if there's anything that we need to do to improve it. I mean, I know there was some deficiency at the beginning. We just launched it because we've been waiting for so long. But I'm concerned to make sure that, you know, there's things that we're not necessarily happy with, you know. And if everybody give their input in, and if we can fix it, you know, relatively cheap, we should do it.
I think that's a good idea. We actually, Michelle sent me some information yesterday when she had her IT person go through the website, and it was valuable because it's an objective person. You know, we've all been looking at this website for 8 or 9 months, and it's you get go in there and you get kind of glazed over on the whole thing. But we have been doing through BCA, we've been doing diagnostics. We now have a daily monitoring of the website because we had some things fixed and fall backwards, which are, you know, was crazy to me. But you're correct, there were some glitches that were affecting hotel click-throughs, and I think we should. The best, you know, response that I can get are from the people that are actually using that as their business, you know, portal, and I welcome that. So I think that's something that's very simple. We could send out a quick, you know, are you having any problems? Please let us know. You know, let them know that they can, you know, who they can contact if they are having a problem, and go from there.
One thing I think when we add to that email, and I know we need to, with that lodging information too, make sure that the lodger's information is accurate, because I found on our hotels there was, and I told this to Sherry, garbage in is garbage out. If she doesn't have the correct information, she can't fix it. Nobody knows the hotel better than the hotel operator. So, or the restaurant or whatever. So I think maybe when we send out a mass email, we could also have them look at their individual information and make sure it's accurate, and hopefully we get feedback.
Well, you hear the comment from Priscilla. There was a least request that we can update our folders. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that how easy on this new system it will be, but that's something that maybe we should look into.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and so as we get down to the website, I'm sure we'll have more comments. So thank you. I'm sorry?
Thank you.
everyone's looking at me because I don't have anyone here to ask if I can open that up. Is it from an AGP standpoint, Nancy?
Yeah. Abrogate. And, you know, I think that anecdotally there are a lot of people who watch Channel 20. There are, you know, comments that I get and you all probably get in the grocery stores. How many people actually stay and watch the PowerPoint presentation? I'm not sure of. You know, I think I've actually been looking at it and thinking we need to redo that. And so if we do get a series of slides from you all, it might be just the time to redo our whole presentation on Channel 20 to boost it and it make it more exciting. You know, we aren't going to be able to bring any numbers.
All right. Thank you for the information. Appreciate that. Okay, so with that, unless there's a comment to Sherry about the...
So, Sherry, my comment would be that if we're going to spend $900 for developing a PowerPoint, that it definitely needs to be something that could be used at in a future date for placement and print material.
Okay. Now we are moving on to B, the Trade Show Subcommittee report. And we did meet regarding SAVOR. We are... neck and neck in having our Battle of the Bay chefs selected. They will be selected by Friday. And then we will let the chefs know by Friday who they are. The event is already sold out, not having a chef. And I think that's some of the draw of Ted Allen, the guy from Chopped, being our fabulous moderator this year. So, you know, I'm not sure how it can be sold out without the chefs, but off we go, right? And that's a good thing because that's just more press, more exciting stuff for Morro Bay. Additionally, we settled on a theme for the SAVOR booth. This year it's going to be SAVOR is the weekend before the Harbor Festival, and so we have settled on a harbor theme or a bay theme. And, you know, last year we had kind of the working fishing truck and that kind of thing. This year we're going to be looking at partnering with some commercial fishermen and maybe having a commercial fisherman out there, and additionally having the Harbor Festival out there and doing some giveaways in our booth to drive people to our booth, to morrobay.org and to Facebook, by giving away Harbor Festival tickets for the very next most famous food and wine event that the county has, and that would be Harbor Festival the following weekend. So we're gearing up for that, and we'll bring back some schematics and plans to you at the next meeting in August. Anybody else want to comment on that? Trade show? Oh, besides that, by the way, trade shows. Out at the Oyster Festival, which was slamming, we had a booth, which I was supposed to be in during the day but couldn't be, so I set my stepfather down in the booth, and thank God for Sharon Bufo, who came down to volunteer for me, and I said, you've got to go into the tourism booth, and she stood there all day with Hal, and they talked to everybody about morrobay.org. You can go there and get your visitor, get your phone out, go there now, and we had the ultimate getaway sign up out there. We had the two surfboards, and we got 43 out-of-county names to be signed up who want to be entered into the ultimate getaway drawing, and 88 in-county locals. So we had folks from everywhere, like Atascadero and stuff, but then we had folks who were a lot of Los Angelinians and Palm Desert folks, so I think it was really good, so I have those for... Michelle's actually going to have staff put them in a spreadsheet and then get them to you. And then we'll keep these for the actual physical drawing. Okay, so there was that with trade show. So that was, I think, 131 signups. Website subcommittee report. I guess I'll open that. We have had some forward movement and some backwards movement and some sideways movement with the website. And like anything new, even when you have a new baby, they keep you up at night. And I think we've had some of that with our website. And so we are moving forward through it. We're drilling down on keywords and how we are getting folks to our site. We're looking at some of the shadowing effects that we have. I think what we're doing now is we're moving into the fine-tuning stages. So, you know, yeah, there's it's a living, breathing thing. The website is always going to need changes. As long as somebody changes their hotel name from the Roadway to the Sandpiper, the website's going to need an update. As long as a new restaurant opens, the website's going to need an update. If a restaurant changes names, same thing. Changes menus, whatever. So we definitely need to make sure that we stay on top of it. I think we're trying as a subcommittee to be very responsive to any concerns that anybody brings forward. I am happy to hear from anybody in the community about the website. You can pick up the phone and call me at 805.
I mean, of course, let us know, because as Sherry's mentioned, things will work one day and then we're having a hard time later. But I think we're getting on the right path. I think we're getting there.
Yep, we're headed there. So, and also there's the contact at the bottom of the page if you want your business added. That is on there. I can't remember. Yes. So there's a way to contact, and if your business is not on there and you are a tourism visitor serving business, we're not talking about the chiropractor down the street or something like that.
Part of the website still does encompass the chamber.
That's right.
On the backside, and service industries can go through the chamber
portion.
In terms of updating information back in the backside of the website. So,
and if you want information on how many people click through to the chamber site and look at all those businesses, all that's available too. So all that stuff is available. We're happy to give it to you and share it with you. Please share your visitor serving businesses with us and check your information. Call us or email us if you need to. Okay. Hotel packaging subcommittee report, they did not meet. Creative subcommittee, we looked at a couple of pieces, and they are going off for the sunset ad in Canada, and they're beautiful, beautiful pieces, so those are going off, and she showed those. Public relations subcommittee did not meet, but they'll meet this month. Budget subcommittee report. We don't have Mr. Myers here, but we did get through. We are moving forward with the budget. The budget's kind of an interesting, flowing thing, and we are going to sit down with Sherry within the next 10 days and look at what our media budget is that we all approved here, and how Sherry and BCA recommend that we spend that media budget this next year. So Sherry is going to bring us back some ideas on that, and then we'll have a better report for you next month in August.
I'd like to request out of the budget subcommittee that when there are expenditures, now that I don't sit on the budget subcommittee, when there's expenditures that have been approved, that they are brought to the board. I know it's after the fact, but it would be nice information. I know a great example is that Canadian travel magazine that was brought to budget subcommittee. You guys approved it. It would just be nice for the full board to know what's coming out of where in between months. Does that make sense?
So you mean at the meeting give you a list of
mm-hmm.
what? Okay, yeah. Well, it shows up in the, yeah, it shows on here what.
Yeah, but we don't always get these every month. Have we been?
Yeah,
yeah, we have.
Emailing them and then bringing hard copies, so one way or the other. But the thing is we don't have, right now, we don't have a 2012-2013, so you're not going to see Canadian Traveler.
Right.
So even if we just had, for this interim period, I can just bring a list what's happening in July, what's happening in August, but
this, it gives all the information. So my thing is when I look at this, I don't know what was approved. Well, I guess I could just look at the 1 month.
Right, and we're always
not getting.
Yeah, and we're running a little bit behind. It's just like TOT. We run a little bit behind. We just billed you for May.
I mean, it would just be nice to have a quick report saying, hey, we approved this
yeah.
that month.
I can put that in my report if you
okay.
want, or
all right.
however.
It's just something,
it.
I'm not on the committee
right.
anymore,
okay.
so I like to know what's...
It's funny because we're approving it now. It's coming out, it's approved now for a November or December ad, so it's funny because it shows up in here in December, let's say, as an expenditure, but it's been approved way out here
right.
in August.
Right.
I hear what you're saying.
So it's like we may not see it for 6 months. You guys, I'd like to just know as it's going instead of 6 months later.
And I think, Michelle, that the idea is that once the budget subcommittee has met again with BCA to firm this out with the suggestions that she presented today and possibly add more, we'll have that here. It's the interim things, the contingencies and that type of stuff that
that's
you're looking
what I'm talking
for,
about. I don't care about the big stuff. I'm talking about exactly. It's the
right.
contingency. It's the things that go on.
The fireside.
The last fire minute sales, fire sales and things
and
like that.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
And there's no problem other than the fact that by the time the next meeting comes up,
oh, yeah, I don't. I'm
you'll
not
probably
gonna,
see that in
right.
Sherry's report. So
right.
it's going to be kind of a
you not
know,
always.
I mean, we
though.
Can't. We can't break Brown and go through the whole committee. I don't think
no.
in notification
that's right.
the whole board in notification of what a subcommittee is doing. So.
All I'm thinking is you under budget subcommittee. It would be okay. This last month we had a Canadian fire sale opportunity. We spent $5,000 on X. That's what I'm looking for. It's something that's outside of what is on our normal budget.
And maybe Sherry, what we need then is to flesh out in your report a little bit more of where that contingency or fire sale money is going.
Just sort of do a monthly update of what happened with the budget subcommittee. It'll probably work, and if it doesn't, we'll fine-tune it.
We'll work it out. It might be another work in progress.
Visitors were up, and of course it's June. And fulfillment was slightly down. And this is just my assumption on that, is if you go back to March, you see how high everything is. You know, folks are planning their vacations a couple of months ahead of time. So, and just a little anecdotal stuff. We had talked earlier about, you know, the European visitors and you know, we've had just the days that I'm there, you know, Italian families, French families, folks from Spain. Fortunately, we have a couple of people that speak Spanish in the visitor center. I had to call my girlfriend for the Italian young Italian couple. Here, can you interpret? So, but it was nice, you know, and it's that kind of, you know, hometown thing that just makes us so great and makes these folks want to come back. Central and South America. Americans in the visitor center, and Australians and New Zealanders, and I'm not sure, you know, where you guys are advertising or what Joan and I talked a little bit earlier, and whatever it is, it's working. So that's great. Thank you.
Well, good to hear that, and we hope everyone was friendly to you.
Oh yeah. Oh, hey, and I was gone for the golf.
Oyster Fest.
The Oyster Fest, thanks. So I came back that Tuesday. There were still people in there raving about how great of a festival that was. I mean, that was just, oh, God. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was really, people like that. And they were, like, really impressed. So whoever had their fingers in that, you know, deserves a big
options.
Pat on the back.
So terrific. Thank you. Thank you very much, Hank. And
my pleasure.
Welcome into the fray.
Thank you.
Have a question for you. We have not received, and maybe you can talk to Craig about this a little bit. We have not received invoices since April. Let's see. Let me go back. I'm sorry. We did not receive the fulfillment invoices for, for February. We did not receive them for February, April, and we did not receive them for May, and of course, or June. So we didn't receive February, April, May, or June invoices for fulfillment.
Okay.
Maybe they can be emailed to us as a board.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate
sure.
that.
My pleasure.
I'm sorry? What did you say about March? We did see March. It's funny. We got March, but we didn't
February
get those
March.
Others. So if you could just look at that for us, that would be awesome.
Alrighty.
All right. Thank you. And review of transient occupancy tax. When we first received this, we had two that were not reporting. We are now at 53% occupancy. That's a 2% increase in occupancy over the previous year. I do have information for the board in case the board wanted to know. We have 158 registered vacation rentals. I had asked that at the previous meeting. And so you should know that we have 158 registered vacation rentals. And we have four trailer parks that are, and it says trailer park, but I think that's a little deceiving. It should probably be RV park, shouldn't it? Because that's the transient thing of a trailer park, whatever. We have four trailer parks in town that have transient spaces, but there's not a real count of how many of those are actual transient spaces, meaning less than 30 days, and how many of those are people who stay for 90 days. So there's not a real count of those exact space numbers that... So we have when you look at these numbers and you kind of do any math, that's going to be skewed based on four parks. And so we are up in RevPAR. We're up a little in ADR. We're up a little in RevPAR, and we are up in occupancy percentage. I got to tell you, if we have a flat July, I'm sorry, go back. Yes, if we have a flat June, which I am hoping we can pull off, we may break $2 million in TOT revenue if we have a flat June, which would be the first time. A flat to last year. If June is flat to last year, to 2011, if June 2012, mm-hmm. when the numbers come in, is flat to June last year, we could break $2 million in TOT revenue.
All right.
Which would be, that would be a record for Morro Bay. That would make me feel like, hey. I would hope it would make everybody else feel like hey, too. So, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. If that doesn't happen, guess what? We've broken 1.9, and mm-hmm. that's also a record. So,
I think June is probably up, actually.
Pardon?
I'm concerned about July, but
right.
June, yeah.
We're all freaking out on
July. Yeah, but June numbers is definitely going to meet.
They should
yeah.
be. July, everyone is, I've talked to hiring process subcommittee report. I will report that we did meet and that we have information that came back to you on the discussion of the timeline for hiring, which would be our next item. So let's move to new business discussion on timeline for hiring director of tourism. When we sent that out to you via email. And I'm just looking for comments or changes that you might want to make. Otherwise, we'll accept that for file and we'll start moving forward on that and cracking the whip to get us moving. The one thing that's not included in here is going to be our special meeting for bylaws. And I did get a note back from Rob Schultz saying he's available on July 26th, but not available on August 2nd. So that would mean that we're probably going to be meeting on July 26th, yeah, in the a.m. Yeah, July 26th in the a.m. So calendar that, and then Jamie will still continue with the email loop. So back to the timeline for hiring the director of tourism. Any questions on this timeline?
The only.
Did you say you emailed us that timeline?
No. The timeline was emailed to you.
Oh, okay.
Last night. Or yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And the only question that I have is if we're looking at completing the hiring process by the middle of October, I want to say.
Well, we were all going for a November hire date.
So for a November hire date. Okay. With like
November start date.
Okay.
November 12th was the start date.
Right.
And we would be mid-October would be the
Completion of process.
Mm-hmm. We had to assume that this person was going to be responsible and actually give notice wherever they were employed.
And a 2-week is a pretty short time frame, but
yeah.
So we're actually looking at somewhere between the first and end of November for
That's
a start
right.
date.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
These are all flexible targets, mm-hmm. but they are targets to kind of give us a timeline, keep us in gear, and just guide us down the funnel to move this thing forward. Mm-hmm. So is everybody good with this?
Mm-hmm.
Because if... I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a good target.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
what's... Hopefully we can get all the other...
Right.
You know, get all our setup as far as cooperation and mm-hmm. everything done.
I
because you need to have that
before
we get somebody
horse.
In here. Exactly.
But
that's a good target.
I think that if we adopt this program, it allows us to work with BCA to move forward on that landing page for the ad and for information for this individual. So I would need a motion to adopt this timeline and this framework so that Michelle and Jane and I can move forward with those things.
Move to adopt the hiring timeline as sent out.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Okay. Timeline adopted. There was also paperwork sent to you on the discussion of a report for potential locations of a future visitor center, and that was a spreadsheet. Does everybody have that available to them? It was sent out yesterday with this. There were two files in the email. She's got an extra one. Okay. I'm sorry. Let's do this. So what we did was we went out with the city manager and the city attorney, and we reviewed the sites that were available that are assets of the city for a potential visitor center. Additionally, we reviewed a site that was sent to us by a board member, which is the old gas station, commonly known as the Morro Bay Realty small building on Morro Avenue, which was a vacation rental building at one point. So the sites we reviewed were the Dynegy Gatehouse, the Verges Landing storefront, the Embarcadero building at Centennial Park, which is in the parking lot, the red building in the parking lot below DiStasio's. We looked at, the lot next to Limos, moving the fire station trailer to the city-owned lot next to Limos. We looked at the current Dial-A-Ride building, the fire station trailer where it sits, the Morro Bay Realty, which I mentioned, and the entrance to the city, which would be a location not identified and not available at this time. I think we all agreed that, you know, ideally it would be placed inside the middle of the roundabout with tons of parking around it. We don't have a location like that. So, you know, the U-Haul is not available. The coffee company is in there. Mobile is in fishing use. And there was some discussion with city staff about whether if there was a visitor center and we sold, we didn't have the money, but we allowed there to be a fishing service. They've talked about putting in kiosks for business licenses and for the tour. It's recreational fishing, like Verges and those guys. They're all recreational fishing, allowing them to have like kiosks in there and, you know, have services based out of there that could meet the standard possibly. But you know, we definitely don't want to do anything that would take away from commercial fishing, so that would be a huge consideration. I mean, we don't want to take their space at all. They've got to hang in there. We work in partnership with them. And additionally, there was the Embarcadero building. That has potential development that might be pending that might actually enhance that option instead of impede that option. And we can explain that further. So you can see here that some of them have difficult access, poor locations for a welcome center. The size is okay, but then they have a poor location. Or some of them are the building is not an adequate size. So are there any questions about these? Because I think that we're feeling pretty strongly about one or two as a subcommittee, but we kind of wanted to hear from you too also.
Questions first.
Well, according to this, it says, well, the best option based on all criteria is the Embarcadero building at the bottom of Centennial Park. What is the square footage there?
You know, it would be, there's a couple of things there that it's used right now to house some electric vehicles. It's like a garage. It would take some.
Would those two garages on the bottom be revamped into a
welcome center and a space? And it's a like a 2.5-car garage because there's a back half area that's kind of like a long golf cart garage that would go along the back end of it. But it would take some forward thinking and some construction to get it into a position where it could be doable. There's a gentleman who rents the space above it, and he, you know, we don't need that space above it, so obviously he could stay there.
Right.
And then in the future, which is the stairway and the escalator elevator thing that's coming in. And part of all of that is that there might be some space to have a permanent welcome center built on that site in conjunction with the park and the restrooms there for the future through some negotiations with the businesses in that area and the city.
And that's a city-owned property, is it?
That's correct. That's a city-owned property.
All right. But you don't know just the guesstimate of what the square footage is of that?
You know, it's roughly? It's a three-car garage.
Okay. Yeah, my guess would be probably between 800 and 900 square feet.
Yeah, 900 square feet. Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. It has like a little bathroom in there, but that wouldn't be open to the public. Oops,
right.
But the restroom is right there, which I know, you know, the restroom. People come to the Welcome Center, right, looking for the restroom all the time, sure, yeah. Next question or comment?
I'm not comfortable with any of these sites. Let me tell you why I think. Any of these, we're going to have to spend a lot of money to fix it. Now, there's a possibility you could also have the visitor center with the chamber the same place. You know, if depend how much space you need, and not to spend any money and put some kiosk and you know somewhere that you could tie up motor bed and different location. That's one possibility, but if I think you're going to put both two places on the Embarcadero. It just doesn't, because we already have a chamber in Embarcadero. And if you're going to put the visitor also in Embarcadero, then let's put them in the same building. You know?
I think we should say that the chamber will be moving from their current location. And they are looking at talking with the city about using the portable space that's the current fire department housing. When the fire department building opens up, there's the portable that's right there behind the library.
Which is not a good visible based on what you're
in. But that's where that space would be that we would then, that's one that we looked at that's on here. And, you know, the building is 2,400 square feet, plenty of room for us to share.
Great space for the chamber, but not for a visitor center.
The location for a welcome center is, that's a tough location behind Albertson's there.
Right. Yeah, you guys are recommending. That's almost 1,000 square foot, and it's a lot of money to fix that building. It shows it's a garage, you know, and that's required a lot of money to be, you know, expenditure that you got to look at it at least.
I think what
for next few years.
I think what we wanted to do was present you with what was available as a city asset, see if there were one or two that you might be interested in, and then we would go back, because it didn't make sense for us to go do an economic study on every one of these sites, knowing that some of them would be immediately blown out. But if location-wise there's two that we're interested in, let's say two, then we will go back and we'll do an economic impact study to show what it would cost to develop those into a welcome center, an office for the Tourism Bureau, and that would give us more information. But it didn't make sense for us to spend hours and hours and hours and hours doing economic impacts on every one of these sites.
I think at this point what the city has suggested and tentatively proposed is working with both the chamber and the TBID in terms of space at low cost. And so we're kind of at a point right now, do we take something at low cost from the city, and that's where we went through the assets as proposed by the city, and take some money to develop them to our use, or do we go out into the community and look at other options on a month-to-month lease? And so that's kind of how we approached it, and that's how we came up with the suggestions in the spreadsheet.
I kind of am a little bit with Alex here. I would My question was going to be, where is the chamber going? Where is economic development? I've always been big picture and love to see everybody in one big house. If they are going, though, over next to the city, I do not think that's the great visitor center location. So that's something I think that has to be considered. But in a perfect world, I'd love to see us housed all together, make us all work together, whether we like it or not. looking at these options, I will be honest, I have a real, and again, I know no money has been established. That's a huge part for me. I would hate to spend $20,000 or $30,000 on the one that's been recommended, the Embarcadero building. I think it would take, and I don't know what it would take. Maybe it would take $5,000, and I would be surprised. But to take a garage and move it into offices, I think we're looking at several. I would want to think it's $20,000 to $40,000, depending on how big we go. But say $15,000, that's rent for a month. You know what I mean? I mean rent for a year. So. Honestly, looking at this list, I think Verge's Landing looks like the one I would be most inclined to want to look down that. I think Measure D would not be an issue for us. I think we could partner with the fishermen. I think we could have some kiosks. I know for future business I wanted to bring up, I've been talking with Info Board a little bit, and they've got these great kiosks. They're doing Monterey. They're working with the San Luis CBID, or the county CBID. They're also got Mammoth. I think our big picture is you're going to have a kiosk with an employee in the background working that'll be there for needed, but the kiosks are going to really be, I think, you know, those touch screen kiosks is what I see, and I'd love to see those throughout the city. But, you know, I just hate to spend, even if it's $15,000, I mean, we could go pay rent for a year in a prime location. So, for me, I really think
all we would have done is paid rent for a year, and then we'd have to do it again the next year.
Yeah, so, which is true.
And the problem with some of these assets, including Verge's, is they are city assets or potential city assets. Some of them even aren't city assets, like now with the, they own the lease.
Right.
But the lease has been it's an ongoing lease, so it would have to be renegotiated. And part of what we looked at in terms of going through the potential sites was the availability. And unfortunately, that kind of cut us down also in terms of, you know, what was going to be available in terms of what could we hopefully, you know, start with now so that we're ready and to go by the first of the year. There's a time frame issue also,
right,
in the Dynergy Gatehouse and Verge's and the vacant lots, you know, the infrastructure work on those. Plus, like I say, the chamber, if the chamber is interested in the trailer, maybe moving the trailer over to Lemus might be a good option for us for location, right, and partnering in a space. But again, that's a time issue. That trailer's not going to be available until the earliest, until November.
Improvements there to the hillside and all that. And one of the things is that the second lower level of that big building back there, the views are blocked by that red building. And so there's been some conversation between that business owner, I guess, and the city about how they can remedy that so that that space can be rented too. And one of the things is, would there be a possible future where that building could be removed and a lower profiled building could be placed there and kind of incorporated into that area and the park area and have that be a welcome center? And those conversations, I guess, have been opened. Of course, that's not going to happen by November or December, but that building being there, you know, we could find out a cost analysis. We could get a general contractor in there to give us an overview of what that would be. I mean, we could do that with Verge's, too. Verge's is going to take some improvement, but we just need probably the two best locations so we can come back to you with money, because right now money's the X factor.
Well, I agree with Michelle. If we're going to be on Embarcadero, I think Verge's would be probably the best location. And the reason I'm saying that, because you have good parking space, you have good visibility, and location-wise, is get more visitors than anywhere else, if you're going to be on Embarcadero. And relatively, the building is there. and your improvement is not going to be huge compared to making a garage to a new...
You'd be surprised.
Well,
it's pretty bad.
It's rough, but it's... Well, any of these are going to be rough, but at least we're just maybe you sharing the building with them. Maybe you could share the cost if you need to. But it's at least you have a good location, a really much better location, in my opinion, than the other one.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I don't know, this is something we've never done, and I don't know why. What about going to staff and having their recommendations? I feel like they always turn around. I mean, have we went to staff and found out what their recommendations
are? That's the other side of the coin, Michelle, is we need to get some kind of consensus to go back to staff at this point and say, these are our two top twos. Yeah. You know, there's no guarantees that staff is going to agree to this. You know, they may have other plans for some of the assets. Like I say, some of the assets are not... like Verge's, exactly in their immediate control. That's a lease that's been sold, that the city has sold. So but we need to have some direction from the board at this point to go back to staff and start, you know, negotiating on where
they don't want to
think they can work with us with.
Well, I could give you my top three, and I would say my top three would be the Verge's store. I think that fire station idea and moving it over to Lemos and partnering in with the chamber is a thought on my mind.
Yeah, we would probably have to pay for surveyors to come out first. One of the problems...
You're going to have to pay for...
I'm just saying the first step to that is probably going to be to see if it will actually fit on the property because it's so big. So just
okay.
So you know.
That's fine.
Let me ask one more question. If you guys took a look at the Morro Bay Realty building... What is fixing on that required, besides rent, of course?
They want about $700 a month. It's very small. It's probably 600 or 700, maybe, square feet. It's pretty small. And it would take some significant changes to it in order to, we believe, in order to make it workable. Significant construction again.
Well, it looks like any of them. You know,
but in addition to that, we'd also have rent to pay. And we don't know that we're not going to have rent with the city-owned assets. See, we have to be able to open up the conversation with them. So we just need your top three picks from everyone, and then we'll kind of...
Where did I get?
Them.
I got two.
You got the two, girl.
I got two. Verge's.
Verge's.
Lemos with the fire station trailer, and then I would say the Centennial Park would be on the three, and I will go back with what Alex is saying too. That Morro Bay, if we're looking at rent, Morro Bay Realty would be on my thought, but that's a rent issue. And I think if right now we're going with just a conversation with the city of what could work with the city, those would be my top three.
Okay. If the city going to give us for free rent, which I doubt it, but that's fine. But if they're going to do that, then, of course, we got to go with the city because we're not going to pay rent.
Right. but if it costs you $50,000 to put the building in...
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
That's different.
Okay, Nick?
I would go Verge's, Centennial Park, and then the Morro Bay Realty building because it's going to be... I mean, that property owner was willing to pitch in with that. That might be a negotiating tool also.
Okay. So just, it's a conversation we can open up. That's what we're asking to do, is to get your ideas about what conversations to open up. Karen, what are yours?
Let's see. I am number one with the...
Your mic is not on.
Sorry. Number one with Centennial. Probably number two with Verge's. And then... I don't know, I'd probably go number three with the Gatehouse. And this is after, and I know you guys weren't in the conversations, but I'm looking at availability and being able to get in. Mm-hmm. And this is after conversations with the city in terms of, at this point, what the city thinks they could do for us and get in. And I'm also looking at cost savings. So I'm not real inclined to go into something where we know we're going to get locked into an annual lease or something like that.
I'm sorry, what was your number three?
Gatehouse.
Michelle likes them all.
Okay, Michelle, you've got four.
Okay,
we'll put you as number five.
For me, depending on price, but since we're just looking at location right now, I like that parking lot because it has so much parking, and we can get like a bus in there too, and the fam tour size
Centennial
for the
Park?
12, and show where our welcome center is at. But
which
it's going to come down to money for me. That's the Centennial Parkway building.
Okay.
And then number two, if we don't come up against opposition, and it would take partnership, and I mean like hands skipping along the path partnership, no opposition to make me feel good about it, that would be Verge's. But like I said, that would be hand in hand. Number three,
it's tough.
Yeah, number three is very tough. Number three is probably going to be that Morro Bay Realty building, only because we already looked at the size of it, and it's tiny, and it has rent. But, you know, maybe we can look at that, too. So, that's number three. So I think we have our three top picks here for us to look at. Alex, did you get yours?
No.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I was writing that you said something before. Sorry. Oh, that's your number one? Okay.
Number one is Verges, and number two for me is Morro Bay Realty.
Okay.
And number three is the Gatehouse.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to not give you a chance.
No, that's fine.
I apologize. Okay. And number three would be the Gatehouse. Oh, boy. So we kind of have a split on number three. We have... Yeah, we're definitely going to be doing a cost analysis on Verges and Centennial for sure.
Since I kept waffling on three, where are we at on three?
We're stuck between the Morro Bay Realty building and it looks like
the Gatehouse.
Because you were no offense, but you were the waffle iron.
I had a feeling. That's why I'm like, well, let's renegotiate here. I'm a negotiator.
Now, on the Gatehouse, would we be leasing it from whoever owns the power plant at the time?
There's all kinds of things going on with the power plant.
Right.
All that's in negotiation. The Gatehouse is used for Dynegy meetings right now.
Right.
The back of the Gatehouse opens up to the Dynegy physical plant area. It would have to be resecured. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of stuff
right. That
comes along with the Gatehouse.
Stuff. Yeah.
And it's down ways.
A little ways. So. I think Morro Bay Realty should be the third.
Okay. She's moved her thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a one, a two, and a three. We will look at those, see what we can do as far as getting some folks in to look at those, and hopefully have a report back to you in August, okay? So our guidance from the board is to look at the red building at Centennial Staircase, the Verges storefront building, and the Morro Bay Realty building. Everyone feel comfortable with that? Do we need a motion on that? Let us actually have a motion on that to feel official. Can I get that moved?
So move that we do a cost analysis for repairs and going forward on Verges, the Centennial Park, city-owned building, and the rental gas station held by Morro Bay Realty.
I would second with a friendly amendment of also requesting staff recommendation out of this list.
Are you good with that, Karen? Okay, so we have a second. We have a friendly amendment asking for a staff recommendation. From the top three, I need to understand what you're saying. From the
I
top
think
three,
that
because
we should
top have it on our schedule, all have it on our calendar, and be able to move forward. And if we don't need it for our business, it can be canceled. We're not going to have a meeting just to look at each other, but it would be on our calendars, and we wouldn't have to worry about, oh, no, I have a lunch, or whatever. It just, we'd be kind of prepared for it. One would be basically our 501c6 business type meeting, the stuff we need to get through to move through with our tourism board. The first meeting of the month would be all of our marketing business stuff.
Well, we've kind of started that trend this month because we're having a meeting today.
Exactly.
And we're having a meeting on the 26th, so that's we could do that same kind of thing.
I think we should do the every other. Yeah, just do every other Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, for like the next 3 months, but starting this month then, or starting in September or August with October.
We should August and then go through the whole end of the year because I think we'll probably be ready.
Canceled if we don't.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I understand you, Joan. You're talking about doing like our regular second Thursday meeting to deal with existing TBID staff reports, subcommittee reports, BCA report, and then going into this. Fourth Thursday
all of this
for
stuff.
Yeah, there's
the to the end of the year to deal with formation issues.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, because basically we've got a whole business.
Because I already have two meetings.
Yeah, that's so correct. Well, we're doing it this
and we're
month.
Doing it. We're
doing
it. Talk about that.
Okay, so that was the idea. And the idea is, you know, if this thing moves along at a clip and we don't need it, we bring it back, we cancel it. I mean, but it does give us an idea, give city staff an idea. The only caveat we would have in the motion would be that the room would have to be available, AGP will have to be available, and city staff will have to be available for that second meeting. But I think that it's going to make our meetings be less lengthy, and we're going to not lose us and be able to move forward.
Okay. Well, and I think we have a lot to do.
We have a lot to do. So, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we have a second meeting the fourth Thursday of every month, pending AGP, city staff, and building availability. Mm-hmm. Same time, 9 a.m.
I second to that.
For what term? Should we do it through the end of the year if needed,
yes,
as needed?
Yes, the end of the year.
Through December. December.
Okay.
Okay. That's in the motion now. That's mm-hmm. You're friendly with that mm-hmm. through December. Okay. Any further discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you. Okay. And there we go. I set my glasses down. Sorry, folks. Okay. It was seconded by Alex. Yep. And now we have a presentation of the new full-service delivery program by Joe Jukic, who raised his arms up in triumph that he's actually up on the agenda now. thanks for the positive. Before noon. You bring him up here. I'll pass him out.
Well, I need one of those. What I was talking about, right?
Hi. My name is Joe Jukic. I own Manfredo Square Properties. I'll let you finish. Okay. I own Manfredo Square Properties in North Morro Bay. By the way, off topic for a minute, I did discuss this with Joan. We have a lot of office space up there, and we would be willing to donate a satellite kiosk to you guys rent-free. I'll build it out myself. The city already said that they would give us a conditional use permit. So if you want it, it's yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people come in. Well, it's right on Highway 1. I can't tell you how many people come in after traversing the city and can't find the Embarcadero. They'll end up at the golf course. They'll end up in Cayucas. So you can have it if you want it. We can build that out.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah. What we're introducing, me and my chef, we're going to be introducing a delivery program. And again, this goes back to necessity is the mother of invention. We're one of the few restaurants that's open until about 10 o'clock in Morro Bay. The rest of the town folds up pretty early. And I can't tell you, is this working? Hello? Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we have people pull into our parking lot, 5 to 10, 10 to 10, say, oh, my God, thank God you're open. We're starving. There's nothing open in this town. And with that in mind, me and my chef came up with the idea that we're going to be introducing a delivery service. We're going to launch two Mercedes-Benz C-Class. They're going to be completely wrapped with surfboards on top that will deliver from about next time I can finish third in the mayor's race.
The question I have,
yes.
How late then you're going to be delivering?
Two to three.
two to three. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
And this is not just hotels. This is private sector. Anybody,
locals,
everybody.
Locals, if somebody wants it. I mean, and part of this was born. I remember when my daughter was like 18 months old, and we were in a hotel. We didn't have any diapers. That was a nightmare. I mean, and I'm sure that exists and goes on quite a bit. With guests and hotels. And I think it's a service that would be great. It would separate us a little bit from Pismo. We need to drive tourism here. I mean, and any kind of service you can provide. Are you laughing at my condoms? I'm selling those too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and we'll increase our brands as our products as we go along, and people make recommendations, and we would take those recommendations from the hotels. So that's
now,
kind of our.
You have all the proper permitting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Okay. Everything for this. Okay.
No, I don't want to be sued.
Okay.
Well. Everybody sues me now. Why would I want to be sued more?
I have a question.
Sure.
Since you're driving food and late night delivery, will you be any type of taxi cab service?
We actually thought about that. You mean a safe ride home?
Yeah.
We actually thought about doing that. I mean, I do it for my customers now when they get plowed. I drive them home. When I want them driving their cars? God, no.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I drive them home. I mean, yeah, we would definitely do that.
Okay, and that's just something I know has came up, and yeah, so.
Great. Okay.
Good answer.
Okay, so what do you want from us?
I just want to be involved with the hotels. I want to structure something inside the rooms or maybe at the front desk or.
So
we've done that with we do the comedy shows at the restaurant. And, oh, by the way, next Friday and Saturday night, I have to promote myself. We have Jeff Richards from Saturday Night Live performing. It's probably the biggest comedy act to ever come to Morro Bay. So,
okay. So I do have a question for you, though, getting back on track here. Are you going to be doing rack cards that you want placed in the
hotel? We can do that. I mean, we can come up with that's why I'm here, to sit down with your group and discuss what works best for you.
Right. For most hotels, I don't want to speak for everyone, but after 20-something years, there's either a rack card or a little tent card that gets placed near the television or something like that, that people tend to ask us in the lobby.
We can do magnets. I can do anything.
People tend to ask us for. So if you are producing material like that, it can be distributed in a number of different ways. It can be distributed through, the chamber right now, to the hotels. We could do some kind of email blast to the hotels, letting them know where that would be available to pick up, or that you would drop it off.
Yeah, we would have a person that would continuously work the route to get the materials to them.
Okay. They're continuously dropping off materials now on the comedy stuff, so they could just do this. I think a lot of it is just getting the information out.
So how would...
why don't we just put it under packaging subcommittee, and we can work with Joe and get an email out, an email blast out to all the hotels.
An email blast out would be the easiest, most simple... most simple, right?
The simplest.
Sorry about that.
The simplest.
But
also, I think it would be good for you to prepare something that we could put either in a room or in the lobby.
Right.
That would, nice presentation of...
Right.
After hours, I know we get guests that, they don't have nowhere to go, and they don't want to go to fast food. They want something maybe decent. And that would be great service if we can handle it properly, I think.
It's like room service for all these tiny little 22-room hotels.
Exactly.
So, Joe, we'll push the board to work with the packaging subcommittee to work so that they correspond time-wise to when you have your printed materials to be dropped off. The blast will go out that, this is a new service. This guy's going to bring these printed materials out. This is for your benefit.
Right.
You can contact Joe directly.
Right. We're just where the cars are being serviced and prepared right now and built out. So
what's your time frame?
That was just my next question.
That's what we're waiting on. Maybe they have to be wrapped, and there's a surfboard that's going across the top with all lighting on it. It's going to be pretty fabulous. So
Can
our time frame hopefully is by mid-August.
Okay, can you maybe let Joan know once you're like ready?
Absolutely.
And then we can flip the switch to the hotels, because I would hate to tell the hotels now it's something and then you get calls.
When we're there, we'll let you know when we're there.
I think if all we're doing is a simple email of an overview of what you're doing, I mean, just shoot it to me, and if I have board approval here, then I'll just shoot it out.
Okay.
So do I have board consensus that that's the way we're going to work this? Okay, you're on.
All right. And also, you know, keep in mind, if you guys want that kiosk, that...
I'm going to turn 50 on that day. And I... Oh, do we have a misprint in our thing? Does it say the 14th on there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should be the 17th. Sorry, that's a misprint
in
our...
That's how you know it's accurate.
But it's July 17th. We will be turning 50. And so we are talking about basically, you know, a very short period of time when it comes to developing programs and marketing those programs. And I was sitting at a meeting one night with Nick, and I was looking up there, and I made note to myself that our 50th golden anniversary was going to be coming. And I started clapping my hands in my brain and was sitting there thinking that we should be gearing up now to do promotional work for our 50th year of incorporation. Mm-hmm. And it should start in January of 2014 and go through December of 2014 as a one-year program. And it should be 50 fabulous hotel specials, 50 fabulous restaurants, 50 fabulous restaurant and hotel packages for restaurant month, wine month, 50 fabulous wines that you can find on the coast. Our 50th 4th of July should be the best 4th of July ever. And on the 17th of July, there should be an all-citywide, and this is also community events, there should be an all-citywide potluck picnic, just like an old barn-raising picnic where everybody brings something in for our 50th, and we have a nice band, and it's a community affair, and we go all the way through with 50 fabulous boats in our lighted boat parade, and we highlight this all the way, and every week or every other edition, maybe in the Bay News, we have something where we highlight 50 fabulous citizens over the year. And the reason why I'm using 50 and not 52 weeks, I figured we'd take two very popular holidays off those 2 weeks, separating church and state here. I don't want to say those two holidays, but I think we can all figure it out. I'm afraid, I don't know, is it okay to say them? But it would include just 50 fun facts about Morro Bay each week, a highlighted fact, a highlighted event. So I was looking to have a subcommittee formed so that we could kind of put a plan together that we could propose to the board, work with our marketing company, and then go back out to the events, Harbor Festival, and everybody else, see if we could get them on board so that in 2014 we know what we're gearing up for, and we have a real strong plan. And by the way, our DOT will be starting in 2013 with less than, you know, with about a year to gear up for this kind of thing, and it would be better if we kind of had some idea for them going into this. Is this something that the board would support?
I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea, Joan, and I applaud you for recognizing this and for throwing these ideas out. I also think that this might be a wonderful opportunity for the Chamber and the TBID to work on a project together. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see
the city, everyone.
If we're forming a subcommittee, I'd like to keep in mind that we might be able to do this in co-partnership with some of the other organizations in town.
Yeah, my thing with staff members. Ooh, city staff.
I think I don't think we should add another subcommittee. Let's just take an existing subcommittee and put that to them. I hate to add more committees to our.
What subcommittee are you?
I would think either trade show, PR.
Well, I'm on trade show. I'd like to be on this subcommittee.
Yeah, you should.
I'm not on.
What other do we have?
Take trade show. She says. Well, I don't know how does Nick feel about
that. Creative.
Nick's on trade show. Maybe Nick wants to jump off trade show now that we're throwing.
No, I wouldn't mind being involved with that. Absolutely, yeah.
So we could do trade show.
The whole idea is brilliant, and making it a whole year event. I mean,
2014 could be the year of Morro Bay. I mean,
it is our year, baby.
And I think it's great, like Karen's saying. I mean, this is going to be a citywide thing. We're going to market the entire city, everything.
When you look at it,
it's coming up fast.
You know, end of 2012, and we're into 13, and then, hey, you know, so we need to really.
This is the kind of economic development we need, too, where we highlight all through the year businesses and what's new, 50 new things about Morro Bay, 50 new businesses in the last 50 years. So
I think we're good. I don't think, though, we need a motion for anything. It would just basically go to trade show,
shoot
and we would start working on it. And then
it to trade show subcommittee.
Yeah.
You know, I think as the trade show committee, you know, we're kind of getting right into to the whole Saver thing right now. But once that gets done, when we can just hit the ground running with this.
Okay, and I would just say to the entire board and the whole world out there that if you have any 50 fabulous ideas, fabulous 50s ideas, I mean, the car show could highlight cars from 1964, you know, and have a whole area for cars from 50 years ago. I mean, all those things could be done, but you can get board support to open up conversation to have morrobay.org. To have a little thing that says visitor information, morrobay.org, added to all those welcome signs. So so I'd like to see, do I have nod to get that on the next agenda? Yes, okay. And then a mobile-friendly app. Those are the three things I have. Is there any other future
I've got,
items?
Yeah. Travel coupon discussion for November, December. And I also wanted to, the kiosks in North Morro Bay. Do we, with Manfredo Square, do we want to add that onto the agenda? My other thing was, is I wanted to invite Earl Harris, remember, from Info Board about some kiosks, the touchscreen kiosks. He came and saw me. I'd love to get him on to start talking about touchscreen kiosks.
Okay.
Were the push, real quick, those pushmen, would they go to specific locations or would it be like an online thing? Or how are those right now? I mean,
So if anybody wants, just while we're on its future, if you go to vismonterey.com, vismammoth.com.
VIS?
Mm-hmm. Those are two sites that this particular company, and this is just one of many companies we can look at, they have touch screens and you go into their visitor center and it's a big touch screen, though. We're talking like a 35, 40-inch TV, and you go up to it and you can touch it. And so it is also available on, it's like an online thing, but it's also kiosk that could be.
Could we push that to the visitor center folks and then have them bring back some information too?
Sure.
That way we can get a whole packet together for everyone and a report out in front so that the standing up here and asking questions back and forth is a little shorter. Or do you want to?
Are you talking about an interactive screen that would have to be inside or a kiosk that could sit outside?
Or is the kiosk or is that you put that in?
This is for inside.
Yeah. Okay, because I'm thinking, you know, if we're going to go to that in that kind of a direction, it might be a really good idea to find something that works on an outside base that doesn't have to be maintained, like I think Hearst Castle has one, and I think the Slow City Chamber has one out in front of their chamber. So in downtime, the visitor's not left. When the office is closed, the visitor is not left hanging.
So do we want to
24-hour access?
You know, that
and that may be possible. I didn't talk with him about it. He just proposed. I said we would just talk
about
it.
Do we want to have the guys, the business, we divided up at one point. It was guys versus gals. Do we want to have the business side of this look into the different types of kiosks that would be available and bring us a report prior to sticking one? That way we have a, but
absolutely,
actually you have information that maybe you can give them first.
I do. So if you guys want, I can run it by to Alex and get you the gentleman's name that came by my office and give you all the information I already have.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring it to the board because it wasn't on the agenda.
Right. Yeah.
And then we can get more.
Well, we may want to put this North Morro Bay,
North
Manfredo
Morro Bay
Square.
Still be on there.
Right.
Okay. North Morro Bay is still on there. We'll have this tentatively on there, and I'll shoot them an email to see if they've got.
See if they're ready by
prepared.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other items that I missed? No. Okay. We need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion. We adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.